Welcome to today's episode of our podcast, where we dive into the world of children's customs with James Posto, the director of e-commerce at TTOT. TTOT, a brand with a 35-year legacy, specializes in high-quality dress-up costumes that go beyond Halloween, focusing on everyday imagination and play for kids. In this episode, James will walk us through his strategic role in transforming TTOT's online presence, from overhauling their e-commerce platform to transitioning from WooCommerce to Shopify. James's initiatives have resulted a significant boost in sales, amplifying the company's digital footprint. He'll discuss the impact of SEO, the integration of AI in content management, and his approach to direct consumer marketing that effectively targets parents, the main buyers of their products. James also highlights how TTOT's costumes are designed to inspire creativity and educational play among children aged 3 to 8, emphasizing the importance of quality and durability in kids' costumes. As we explore the intricacies of e-commerce and digital marketing through James's expert lens, listeners will gain valuable insights into leveraging online platforms for business growth. So tune in and get ready to learn how innovation and strategic marketing are key to keeping the magic of childhood imagination alive at TTOT. Let's get started. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Hi, James, from beautiful Southern California. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for inviting me on. It's a beautiful day today.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful day. Please share. Yeah. Share more information. Do you see, is it a sunny day?
It's sunny. We've had all this rain. So it's like warm weather and snow-capped mountains all in the clear because everything's just, it's just a gorgeous day.
And,
it's a good drive into work. I wish I didn't have to be inside, but sometimes you got to be inside.
Is it more inspiring for work or you just want to go out for hiking or something?
I'd like to go out and ride my motorcycle, actually.
Motorcycle?
That would be a nice thing today, yeah. But I have a vintage Honda. It's a 1977 CB550F Supersport, kind of cafe'd up. It's nice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. I used to ride it to work a few days a week, and unfortunately, in July, I had an accident and broke my arm here. So I don't commute on it anymore. I'm riding less now that I'm back on it. I'm like I'm a little more careful. I don't want to go in traffic so much.
Sure, at least you can talk about it in podcast and stuff like that, right? So it's
something interesting. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Great. So. And also the topic of the day is very interesting, children customs, right? So,
absolutely.
I'd love to learn more about TTOT and about your role. So,
TTOT's a 35-year-old brand. We've been around for a long time, and we specialize in like really high quality children's costumes. And these are imagination play costumes. These are costumes that even though most of them, obviously, like with all costumes, are sold in the U.S. around Halloween time, what we're making are not Halloween costumes, but dress-up play and imagination play costumes. So it's designed to inspire children to role play and imagine, and there's an educational component in that, and just a general growth component. And also gets kids off of screens and whatnot. So it's good. And they're targeted. The target is parents who buy them for their kids, but it's for children 3 to 8 years old. So they're for little kids.
Yeah.
So it's a little kid's product.
Yeah. Yeah. Over 3 decades. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's been around for a while now. But online sales is relatively new. I was brought in, almost 3 years ago, and they did have a website that an outside consulting firm had created, but it really didn't do. It was done in WordPress, and I forgot what the e-commerce platform was.
WooCommerce.
Well, it was WooCommerce. You got it. It was WooCommerce. And it was, I came in, I was just like, this thing's a dog. it's over designed and it's hard to work with. And I instantly made the decision to port us over to Shopify. And it was a real easy port. I was able to download all the data, upload it into Shopify, and then redesign the site. And I've spent the last 2 years optimizing that site.
Yeah.
But even from year one to year two, the year one, the thing I inherited, and once I changed things over and started doing all the different ways of either promoting or optimizing the site, I was able to increase our online sales by 10 times, which was relatively easy because there weren't that many to begin with because of what I came into. But but it was a very heartening start, especially using that. And so a lot of my work, I'm responsible for building different channels to bring in work, to bring in sales for our online sales, which are direct to consumer. So we're a manufacturer and designer. We don't sell anybody else's product. We just sell our own. So in addition to, obviously our product has been in stores for years, but our direct channel is something that I'm responsible for building for us.
Yeah. So how was it from the beginning? You've built an online platform, you had a target to scale it. You scale it 10 times, you said. Obviously there were a lot of challenges. What was the strategy? How did you start on, doing the acquisition at the early days? And what are some of the challenges that you faced then?
Well, there was a lot of experimenting going on. So big basic challenges was making sure that SEO is a huge part of it. It still is. Okay. And that was the thing about SEO is it just takes a long time. I'm seeing results now where we have so many keywords that are now showing up on the first page of Google. And when I started, I hardly had any, and it was just, building backlinks, optimizing our content, being able to, creating blog content, adding things on, and it's paying off, but it just takes a long time.
Long time.
And so I'm really looking forward to this season because it seems in the last few months are, based on Google Analytics and other tools that I have, it seems that our numbers are like going through the roof right now in anticipation of our season. Our season, as far as where we sell the most, is between August and December, mostly August through October. And that's when most of it happens. So I was able to, like I said, I was able to 10 times it after the first year, over doubled that for the second year. This year, I'm hoping to at least double what I did last year.
You mentioned SEO. It obviously goes to probably your blog area, your blog sections of the website, but it's also related to the way you describe the product themselves, right? I mean, using the right keywords, description. Yeah.
And I've been using, what I've been using recently, and it's still an ongoing project, but I've been incorporating AI into developing those things as well. So what I've been doing is it's fantastic. I'm really good. I have long experience as a creative director, where I've had people that I've had to direct. That really translates well into being able to write prompts and basically direct the AI to get what I need out of it. And what I've been doing is I've been taking our content and then using ChatGPT 4 and 3 and 3.5 and 4 to massage the content and say, okay, here's what I have. Please redo this for, for these keywords to to optimize, et cetera. Yeah. And then I'll rewrite it from there. It's been a game changer that way.
Wow. Nice. So yeah. It's a kind of a tool. Obviously you're not taking the, whatever the ChatGPT gives you, you use it in the process.
Oh, is it the right keyword?
Yeah,
absolutely. We don't want to use exactly what they give you because Google doesn't like it. You know, sure. Google's going to look, they can recognize if it's, and what they, it's getting better and better, obviously, but it's still like having a conglomerated, it's almost like expert collaborator who has a lot of knowledge that you can go, hey, what do you think of this? How does this look? And I've been incorporating that into the process, basically because I'm mostly a one man department. I have to do it all right now until I can grow to the point where I can have more people underneath me.
Nice. And obviously it's kind of a brainstorm, helping you with brainstorming, right? And trying to come up with more ideas and then implemented this right on your own. What else do you do on the marketing side?
I mean, obviously we do AdWords, you know, standard stuff, especially, and concentrate on that during our busy season as well. Mm-hmm. And we try to do things that are a bit more organic, reaching out to not necessarily influencers, but creators, and try to get even our customers to like urge them to post things that are about us, so that we can stay top of mind and get into other little corners. Like
testimonials or reviews or stuff.
Reviews are a game changer too. So I was recently able to incorporate a review system into our Shopify. Fortunately, we're selling on Etsy as well as a channel. Mm-hmm. We can do that because even though we're not, we manufacture a lot, but because we are designed in-house and, you know, we have an in-house design team and everything else, we're designing everything ourselves, it still qualifies under Etsy's rules. Etsy has been wonderful because Etsy naturally has all these great reviews and we have all 5-star ratings on Etsy. And I was able to take all those, mm-hmm. bring them out, and then deploy them to our site plus, and then start getting a lot more and double it with our actual new reviews directly from our site. And then recently, I was able to, and this will be another game changer, I was able to take those reviews and put them on Google Shopping. So they're sunk up with Google Shopping. Uh-huh. So now they show up. So when our products show up in Google Shopping, they have the same 5 stars on there with the reviews that we've garnered from these other platforms all put together.
Nice.
That having reviews on your site is the other thing recently that's been boosting our stats in Google and our where our keywords are ending up. So these it all builds upon itself.
Yeah. So what is the impact of this specific topic? It's like better conversion rates or how do you analyze the performance of this?
I'll tell you at the end of this year exactly how that played out. It means mostly better traffic and more relevant traffic, you know, and that's the key. I'd rather get half the I'd rather have just more relevant traffic than just clicks, and that's what it's about. So that's another thing that I'm, you know, tweaking and trying to make work in the organic space.
Yeah, so I mean, the users of your products are the children, obviously, but the buyers are the parents, right? So how do you strategize the marketing? Is the marketing, you're targeting the children, targeting the parents?
Well, no, we're always targeting the parents. So when I'm, whether I'm creating keywords or creating like an AdWords campaign or a Google, any type of Google Ads campaign, I'm optimizing it to reach the right parents and the right demographics. And primarily, we are not selling internationally, so we're only concerned about U.S. So, you know, concentrated on there, obviously. And yeah, I mean, that's
so the primary goal. The parents know that they need to buy, you know, customs for the children, or the children.
I mean, we'd love to get it in front of children, but there's just no way to do that. You know, there's no way to directly do that. So the idea, especially with something like this, which is semi-educational, or so our products, like I said, are in even though Halloween is our biggest area, our stuff is designed to be toy box quality, and that. Hang on. So, what that means, for instance, like as you can see, this is one of our firefighter suits. It's one of our most popular things, and it looks and feels and wears like an authentic firefighter suit. And super high quality. Cotton polyester blend and everything else. Very, you know, this is solid stuff. It's not a throwaway costume. It's not a wear once costume. Mm-hmm. It's something that's designed for, like I said, toy box quality. It's something to be used again and again. And what we're creating are things that, you know, are inspirational or allow kids to participate in imagination play.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of a parenting thing. It's something to inspire the parents to say, like, oh yeah, this would be great for my kid. They'll play outside. They'll be able to do this stuff, get them off their screens, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's kind of the play.
Sure. You mentioned at the beginning that you're doing like a high-end customs, and I wanted to ask you, what do you mean by that? But then I saw the quality and the attention to details. I think it's very, very clear, you know, what you mean. It's really, really high-end, amazing.
Yeah, we stand out in that factor. You know, it's, and our price point isn't even that high compared to other ones across the board. I mean, maybe... You know, I mean, we're talking, if you look on our website, it's things are in the $40 to $60 range for an outfit, which isn't bad for what you're getting.
Sure.
You know, it could easily be higher. And we have a few very, you know, specific competitors, and they've been online a little bit longer than us. And they have everyone has a different feel to what they're doing. And, so another thing that I did creatively in developing our online brand, in line with our brand, but I went for more of a toy feel as opposed to a lifestyle feel, and just concentrating on the quality of the things. And you'll see our competitors will have kind of a softer feel. And I needed to stand out in a different way. So I'm showing it in a different way. I wanted to be able to differentiate our product.
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it. So Google, obviously you're spending more. So I guess it's working well for you on that front.
Let me see. I want to see if I have the stats up on my board here. Google, as far as ROAS, I'm getting about in most of my categories, I'm getting around a 4.
4,
And which is like, I can't go much lower than that, but 4 is decent. And Google, as far as the paid ads, are Google is usually the best. I've not been able to crack any of the Meta stuff successfully. I find Meta really difficult to get a good ROI on.
Why?
Because they don't. I think maybe because I'm not spending enough. Because I don't. Okay. Because if you don't spend much, they don't seem to push you very far. Mm-hmm. And I don't really get. I don't get sales.
Probably
I can spend that money and I'm not getting sales back.
There's a threshold, I think, that you're not there yet, I guess, to get the right traction, I assume.
What do you know about it? What have you heard in all your...
I heard this also from many other brands. I mean, it's getting more and more difficult to get really an effective ROAS from Meta. Yeah.
Yeah. I think of Meta and actually any of our social media as awareness and brand building.
Okay.
So that's, I would love to be able to have a campaign that's, doing like where I can have a hugely integrated campaign that is just like, well, I know if I'm going to spend this much, I'm going to get this much back and people are buying, but I'm not selling razors and I'm not selling,
Yes.
What I'm selling is kind of harder to kind of become that viral product because it's not for the person looking at it.
Yes.
My difficulty is I'm one step back. It's always for the parent or the grandparent who's going to buy the item.
Yes.
So
it's obviously also because it's fully regulated industry, right? And
plenty of
things that you cannot do.
Yeah. Especially like on TikTok. TikTok's the same way, and I love TikTok. It's one of my favorite platforms. It's just a general creator platform, but it takes a lot of time and effort to consistently create things on TikTok. And then if you don't see the results coming back, it's hard to justify continuing to spend for the creation. And also, it's just like I can't personally, bearded middle-aged man go on TikTok and I could, I just don't think it's brand appropriate for me to be like, hey, let me tell you about this. I think actually it probably worked really well. Now that I'm looking at it, I can probably be very authentic and just say, let me tell you about this. Maybe I have to talk to my president about that. Maybe it'll work.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't look that bad now that you did it. Yeah. I think it's, think about it. It should work
in a
certain way. Yeah. I mean, it's very authentic.
A little more authentic and grandfatherly, I will just, I'll let my beard go gray. So it's like
gray,
a little bit more soft. Yeah.
Oh, you need to learn from me a little bit. So it will work. Nice thing. So what else is working for you and what are the things that you hope, to improve in terms of things that you've tried?
So I've pretty much told you everything that's working for us. I think patiently building SEO has been the most valuable thing for us. Just opening multiple channels. So even though technically our direct sales, like last year, our Amazon sales were almost half of all our sales. And then our Shopify sales were almost there. And there was a portion that were Etsy sales, but I lumped those in with Shopify because they all come through Shopify. Same with the Walmart. It's going to come in through Shopify. I use a tool that integrates so that all my orders come in through Shopify. If I can get my Amazon orders to come in through Shopify, that'd be great. But no, I can't. They don't do that. But even though the Amazon sales are almost like for last year in our busy season, we're almost half. Those sales were the least profitable, and it just eats up so much. So I'm not concentrating as much on Amazon right now. I'm going to continue to be out there. I'm going to continue to jump through their their hoops and optimize as much as possible, but I am going to spend far less promoting on Amazon and just being there, and I'm going to concentrate on other things. I have, starting with the Walmart platform, I have higher hopes that I can spend there and get more ROI. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the test this year.
That's this year versus Amazon.
It's not as crowded a marketplace, you know, and it has a lot of traffic, but the marketplace isn't as crowded and it can play to some of our demographic. And then everything else is, again, just building. And of course I'll concentrate on the Google end, on paid ads in Google.
Yes. Tell me more about this, about the workflow with Walmart, because you say it's coming to your own Shopify as an order, right? So how the workflow is working.
Yeah. It works identically for me, as far as how the orders come in, it works identically to the Etsy orders. So our Shopify, we use a tool that talks between our Shopify and our Etsy. And we use that same tool. They have the same thing built for Walmart. Would you like to know what it's called?
No, doesn't matter. Just to understand the workflow.
Yeah. So as far as it's seamless. The orders come in, whether they're coming in directly from Shopify or from Walmart. We don't have that many Walmarts right now, or from Etsy. Mm-hmm. They just show up into my Shopify, and I can interact with all the clients there and do all my fulfillment. So I only have to deal with one platform when I'm fulfilling.
So each one of those those channels are like siloed, right? You need to allocate specific inventory for them, or is just
I don't have to do that at all.
Okay.
Yeah. No. That's what's beautiful about it. All I have to do is deal with my inventory and everything on Shopify, and it updates across and debits across. So, yeah.
Very nice.
The only place I don't have that across the board is Amazon, where I have to go. Like, well, if I'm running out of something, I have to go over to Amazon and take it down. You know?
Sure.
Other than that.
What do you see in the industry for 2024? I mean, some of the trends or changes from last year?
I think the trend is going to go as far as like using influencers. I think influencers, I have tried influencers in the past and I found it to be a big waste of money.
Oh, right.
I think it's for me, influencer marketing doesn't produce enough ROI the way I've been using it. Maybe I've been using it wrong, but it hasn't seemed to work as well. And I've been seeing, as far as what I've been seeing in general, as far as opinion, is that people are coming around to realizing this, that that's not the place to spend because it doesn't, except for certain niche things, it doesn't necessarily work. What I would like to do, though, and this is the other thing for this year, as long as TikTok stays alive, is make the TikTok shop happen and then see if I can get things set up so other people can sell our stuff on TikTok as well as us.
Yes.
And get influencers there to say, like, hey, check out this cool thing. These are awesome. You should get them too. Link in my, links below, sponsored posts. I have not been able to take advantage of that yet, just bandwidth wise, because I have many other things to take care of. But that is on my agenda for this year. Again, as long as TikTok doesn't get banned in the United States, which I don't think it's going to do.
So you are opening a TikTok shop and try to work with those influencers over there?
Yeah. We had a TikTok shop before and then TikTok took them all down and then relaunched. And then we had to start again. And it's been kind of a slog. It's almost as bad as – it's not as bad as, but almost as bad as Amazon. Amazon's a nightmare to deal with because they – I'm like, right now I have to upload all sorts of like, I'm like, we've been selling, we've test all our stuff, and you know, we're an established brand. We test our stuff to international standards, and Amazon's like, well, we need all the proof that you've done this. I'm like, oh my God, this is so much stuff that they require. And I'm like, we've been selling, and other people have sold our stuff on Amazon for a long time, and now you're asking, but okay. But things like this take up all your time.
And on the TikTok side, they ask questions about, because it's a children product or anything of that
sort. They don't even have the ability to select children's product as a
it's
market.
Not in the menu even.
Yeah, it's not even in the menu. So and then they come, and when you publish it, they push back. So yeah, I just have to go through some hoops with that. I think it's possible, and I want to make it happen. Sure. So that's the thing. Oh, another thing that's actually helped us a lot is we do have an affiliate program, like a direct affiliate program. So we have lots of people who, and they're growing all the time, who market our stuff for a small commission. So we get a percentage that way as well. And that's been growing. And I've been doing that since I got in as well.
These are like also individuals, like influencers or like, dealers
some,
or company.
Or people who are just like internet marketers who try to find different things to push, and
they go on YouTube and stuff, and so you give them like coupon codes and they can promote it.
Yeah, basically they register with us and I approve it. They put in their coupon code or link, and anytime somebody uses one of theirs, you know, they get 10% of the sale. It's 10%.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So that's another way to get out there that I find is useful. I wish I had more. I'm in this. My background is in digital creative. 1996, I founded a digital creative agency, and we had it for over 20 years. And we did user experience and user interface design and interactive advertising and rich media advertising for very big brands. Yahoo was a huge client of ours from 99 to 2009. Wow. Nikon USA, we do. And actually, my company still exists, the old company. I no longer own it, but they still have Nikon as a client and do all of Nikon's Nikon USA's e-commerce and forward-facing design and marketing.
Yeah,
and so I have a lot of experience in that end of creative, but it translates somewhat to here. But a lot of this is something that I've understood and knew intellectually, but not as in this role. So I am learning as I go in this role. Fortunately, I'm one pretty of the plastic up here, so I can...
Exactly. I mean, the great things about e-commerce is that everyone are really passionate about the business, and because it's always experimentation mode, right? You need to be agile, you need to learn always new things, and you can try and immediately know if you're in the right direction. So lose early, keep going, and... That's a really interesting aspect of this business. So how did you start? The e-commerce. What brought you to e-commerce? How this happened?
How do I start here? Well, I happened to I was offered this job. They needed somebody. They knew me. They knew I had broad experience in the realm. And I am a generalist and not a specialist, which works really well when you can't have a large department.
Exactly.
So I'm actually, I have a background in film. I will shoot and produce commercials social media stuff myself. I just have experience in all sorts of different verticals that I can put all together, and that's always been my thing. So that's how I got into it.
I think it's perfect for the company and also very good for you. I mean, because you've been dealing jack of all trades, dealing with so many things, makes this a whole lot interesting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good because I know enough about, I am someone who is, and I think this is really important in any role like this, you have to kind of be right at the tip of the zeitgeist all the time. I'm an early adopter of everything and an active user of all different medias. So, okay. I mean, I'm on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram every day and kind of like living in the space and experiencing the space from my customer's perspective, because I am one of them as well. I'm not,
yes.
And you can't not be in it and really understand it. And if you're not in it, you're not going to understand the power of it. You're not going to be able to see what other people are doing in it and be inspired by that. I just think it's really important to stay plastic in your thinking, you know, and that's the only way to survive in this. I'm on the older end of the folks doing this probably, but I've been doing it. Like I said, I've been in the interactive design, web, et cetera, space since the beginning. So, but I've tried not to become a dinosaur in it either. I try.
Great, great. That's the right attitude, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Great, James. So this is the fun fact part of the episode.
Okay.
So would love for you to share something that probably most of your professional network are not aware of. So.
Oh, let's see.
Yeah.
Okay. I am I'm a filmmaker, and I've made quite a few short films and directed music videos.
Wow.
And not directly involved in this. So that's been something that I've dabbled with and been involved with over my entire career, but it's never been my career. It's just been something else that I do.
Really?
That's
something you did like a hobby or something. So like,
well, that was going to, so that's the thing. That was going to be my career. Yeah. You know, I was going to be a filmmaker, and what ended up happening is the thing about, if you want to be a director, producer, writer, it's again, multiple disciplines that you have to learn simultaneously. So it's naturally good for a creative generalist, not a creative specialist, where you're getting performances. And this is what I believe about business in general and about leadership, is that when you are in a leadership position with multiple people working with you, as that leader, what you're doing is you're like a director. You are getting performances out of every role. They're like your actors and your editor and your cinematographer and everything else. What you're doing is you have to be able to speak enough of all of their languages and to empathize with them, to understand what they need, and also to be able to inspire them and nurture them to get the performance that you need out of them, no matter what it is. Yeah. So that's what naturally led me into, when I was going to be a filmmaker, suddenly I had a family. I was like this, I was in my late 20s, ready to be the, you know, Quentin Tarantino. We're about the same age. And I got married and had a kid. It's like, oh, shoot, I can't be a starving artist trying to make it anymore. I have to make money. Okay. Yeah. And then it was just like, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And the internet came around. I'm just like, let's start a business, and became successful there. And, you know, sent my kids to college, did all that stuff. Right. But while I diverted my life into, you know, being Don Draper and doing all this other stuff, I ended up, I still kept a hand in the filmmaking aspect of it. And that's why that's still been there.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, on my personal TikTok, I was able to use AI to upscale one of my 16mm, my thesis film from college.
Really?
I was able to, because back when I made it, it was a 16mm film. It was beautiful. It got screened at the DGA and everything. You know, it was But the transfer was like a low res transfer. It was like standard res because it was back then. So I had that digitized. And then recently I was able to use AI to upscale it to a high def.
Pixels. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it did a pretty good job. And I, as a matter of fact, I just, on my, if you go to my TikTok, my personal TikTok, you can see my big student film. I just posted it recently because I was able to do that.
So I want you to share it with me so we can put it in the show notes of this episode.
Okay? Sure thing. I'll share the YouTube link to it.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Okay.
No problem, James. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed speaking with you. And you know, I hope I've provided somebody with some inspiration or at least something.
Of course. Wish you all the best for 2024 and all the plans you know, to come true. And ROIAS should be amazing. All the best, James.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.